The following is an encore presentation of Everything Everywhere Daily. He was one of the greatest thinkers of the ancient world. He was a philosopher, a mathematician, and had some unique views on diet and religion. You probably know him best for the mathematical theorem that bears his name. However, if you asked anyone 2,600 years ago, they might have known him for something entirely different. Learn more about Pythagoras, his ideas, and the cult that he led on this episode of Everything Everywhere Daily. This episode is sponsored by Newspapers.com, your passport to untold stories and hidden histories. As the largest online newspaper archive, Newspapers.com offers an incredible journey through time, with papers dating back to 1690. Imagine exploring the news, events, and everyday moments that shape the history of the world around us. Newspapers.com puts over 900 million pages at your fingertips, offering a front row seat to the past. With papers from the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and beyond, Newspapers.com lets you walk the streets of history, whether it's London during the Blitz, New York during Prohibition, or Sydney during the construction of the Harbor Bridge. For listeners of today's episode, Newspapers.com is extending a special offer. Use the code EverythingEverywhere and enjoy a 20% discount on a subscription. That's EverythingEverywhere at Newspapers.com. It's the perfect way to unlock the world of history. This episode is sponsored by Harry's Razors. I want to tell you a quick story. Several years ago, I was a podcast listener just like you, and I was listening to one of my favorite history podcasts. One of the ads on the show was for a company called Harry's Razors. I was extremely dissatisfied with the razors I was using at the time, so I figured I'd give these Harry's Razors a try. And it was a great decision. And I have been a customer of Harry's Razors ever since. I use Harry's Razors at home, and I've taken them with me on trips around the world. Not only does Harry's Razors provide a smooth shave, but they do so at a much lower price than their competitors, which, if you've checked out the price of razor blades lately at the store, that is not something to sneeze at. Don't settle for the status quo. You can blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/everything. That's harrys.com/everything for a $3 trial set. The Pythagorean theorem is something that everyone learns in school. I'm sure that everyone listening right now has at least heard of it and probably knows what it is. And I'm also guessing that most people probably don't know much about Pythagoras beyond the fact that he was some ancient Greek dude who did math. However, there is a whole lot more to Pythagoras than just triangles. Pythagoras was born sometime around the year 570 BC in Greece. There is little that we know about the early life of Pythagoras because none of his original writings have survived, nor have any contemporary writings about him. The stories that do exist have him being born on the island of Samos in the Aegean. There are stories about Pythagoras' early life which were written after the fact, but these were mostly tales to illustrate a point, and the tales which were told about him either make him out to be a genius or a crackpot. He also supposedly was educated outside of Greece. He may have received his education in some combination of Egypt, Mesopotamia, or the Levant. He eventually returned to Samos and started a school which became known as the Semicircle. His teaching ability became legendary, and supposedly intellectuals from all over Greece came to hear him lecture. The real story of Pythagoras starts when he was about 40 years old and moved to the Greek colony of Croton, which was down near the foot of Italy. It isn't clear why he moved. Some say it was because the ruler of Samos was tyrannical, and others say that he was sick of the burdens placed upon him by the citizens of the island. However, it was in Croton that he established the first Pythagorean community. The Pythagoreans would, by modern standards, be considered bizarre. By ancient standards, however, the Pythagoreans were still pretty bizarre. What Pythagoras created was basically a cult, and by cult I mean both a cult of personality and a religious cult. Pythagoras was worshipped as a demigod by his followers. They literally called him the divine Pythagoras. They would tell others that Pythagoras was the son of a god, usually Apollo or Hermes. There were songs of praise written to him, and his followers believed that he had supernatural powers. He supposedly had the ability to tame eagles and bears by petting them, and he could control any animal by just speaking to it. He was once supposedly bitten by a snake and killed the snake by biting it back. Aristotle wrote that he was supposed to have a golden thigh and that he displayed it at the Olympic Games. He also once showed his golden thigh to a priest who gave him a magical arrow that allowed him to travel long distances. And FYI, from now on, if I ever cook chicken thighs until they are golden brown, I'm going to call it Pythagorean style. There were also legends that he could appear in two places at once. So, this definitely checks all of the boxes for a creepy cult leader. He also had an enormous number of rules that his followers had to adhere to. For starters, all new members had to keep a vow of silence for 5 years. The silence was, in theory, supposed to keep the new initiates pure, but it was probably more likely a way for them to keep secrets as they became acclimated to the cult. All of the Pythagoreans were vegetarians. Pythagoras required everyone to abstain from meat because he believed that animals were former human souls. Pythagoras supposedly was walking down a street when he saw a man beating a dog. He had the man stop beating the dog because he claimed it was one of his former friends, and he could tell this by how the dog barked. As vegetarians went, Pythagoras was a pretty bad one because he still sacrificed living animals. Chicken, cattle, pigs, and goats were acceptable, but you could never sacrifice a sheep. This pretty obvious hypocrisy was noted while he was still alive. There was a joke that Pythagoras was found eating meat even though he claimed to eat no living thing. When Pythagoras was asked about it, he supposedly said that he killed it first, so it wasn't living. However, in addition to not eating meat, cult members also were not allowed to eat or touch beans. Pythagoras believed that fava beans contained the souls of the dead. You also couldn't eat them because it resulted in flatulence, and when you passed gas, you lost part of your soul. No comment. I am literally suffering joke overload right now. Followers were also required to put their right shoe on first before their left. The cult had no 5-second rule, so if anything fell on the floor, they could not eat it. All sexual relations were discouraged, but if you must, you should only do it in the winter, never the summer. You also couldn't break bread with your hands, nor stir a fire with iron. All of these rules certainly sound odd, and they were, but what exactly were the core beliefs of the Pythagorean cult? The cult was part philosophy and part religion. They did worship Apollo, in particular the aspect of Apollo who was the god of the oracle at the Temple of Delphi. As I mentioned, they sacrificed animals to the gods, but also engaged in many other rituals for purification and burial. Pythagoras believed that souls were immortal and believed in reincarnation. Supposedly, Pythagoras himself could recall 4 previous lives where he was the son of Hermes, a fisherman, a minor hero in the Trojan War, and a courtesan. So far, none of this has anything to do with triangles. Where do triangles come into play? Well, perhaps the biggest belief in the Pythagorean cult had to do with mathematics. Pythagoras believed that everything in the universe could be expressed through mathematics. Mathematics to the Pythagoreans was geometry and natural counting numbers. Numbers were represented as dots, not by symbols as we do today. If I wanted to represent 3, for example, I would make 3 dots in a triangle. Numbers were thus visual and a very real thing. Pythagoreans would engage in mathematics as a spiritual exercise, not to solve any practical problems. Numbers had different meanings to the Pythagoreans. The number 1 was related to intellect and being. The number 4 represented justice. The number 7 was wisdom, and the most important number was 10, as it was written as a pyramid of 4, 3, 2, and 1 dots. The symbol was known as a tetractys. As such, Pythagoreans would never gather in groups of more than 10. They had a prayer to the number 10, which read, quote, "Bless us, divine number, thou who generated gods and men. O holy, holy tetractys, thou that containest the root and source of the eternally flowing creation. For the divine number begins with the profound, pure unity until it comes to the holy 4, and then it begets the mother of all, the all-comprising, all-bounding, the firstborn, the never-swerving, the never-tiring holy 10, the keyholder of all." End quote. And I kind of wonder why this wasn't the subject of a Schoolhouse Rock episode. Even numbers were considered feminine, and odd numbers were considered masculine. Numbers linked everything in the world together for Pythagoreans. Pythagoras believed that the 7 planets, which in antiquity were the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, corresponded to the 7 muses. Pythagoreans, to their credit, were some of the first people in the world who believed that the Earth revolved around the Sun and not the other way around. However, he also believed that the planets moved in perfect circles. They also discovered the relationships between mathematics and music. They experimented with strings and woodwinds of different lengths to produce different notes. They discovered octaves, fifths, and fourths. Everything was tied together. As the music was expressed in numbers and the planets were expressed in numbers, that meant that the planets were creating music. As much of the effort of the Pythagoreans was involved in mathematical inquiry, this is where the Pythagorean theorem comes into play. For those who need a quick refresher, the Pythagorean theorem simply states that for any right triangle, the square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares of the other two sides. While Pythagoras is credited with the discovery, and while he very well may have independently discovered it, he certainly wasn't the first. There is evidence in cuneiform writing from the Babylonians over 1,000 years before Pythagoras that they knew about it and used it. Likewise, there is evidence that the theorem was known in Egypt and in India before Pythagoras was born. Pythagoras may have brought the theorem to the Greeks, which is why his name is associated with it. While he got credit for the Pythagorean theorem, which maybe he shouldn't have, he also might not have gotten credit for identifying the 5 Platonic solids, which were named after Plato. The Pythagorean theorem indirectly caused a crisis in the Pythagorean community. In the Pythagorean philosophy, everything could be expressed as whole numbers and ratios. In modern mathematical terms, these were the rational numbers. However, according to legend, one of his followers by the name of Hippasus proved that the square root of 2 could not be expressed as a ratio of any two numbers. The number was irrational. This completely poked a hole in the entire Pythagorean worldview. As punishment, Hippasus was drowned in the sea, so his secret could never be revealed. During the life of Pythagoras, there were multiple Pythagorean communities that sprung up around the south of the Italian peninsula. Women were considered equals in the Pythagorean community and were able and encouraged to study alongside of men. There are several different stories as to the death of Pythagoras. All of them revolve around an attack on the Pythagorean community after a falling out with other locals. Supposedly, the locals burned down the building that he and some of his followers were in. According to one story, he died in the fire. In another story, his followers laid themselves down over the flames so he could walk over them to flee to safety. But after he was out, he committed suicide because he felt so guilty over their sacrifice. In yet another story, he fled the building only to encounter a field of beans. Rather than run through the field, which would be counter to his beliefs, he stood at the edge of the field where he was cut down. The cult of Pythagoras survived his death for several years, but eventually it just withered away. While many of the ideas in the cult of Pythagoras seemed really weird, many of the beliefs of Pythagoras did trickle down to other Greek philosophers. Pythagoras influenced Plato's work on mathematics, and his community might have served as an inspiration for his book, The Republic. Aristotle pretty much rejected all of Pythagoreanism, but still seemed to have respect for Pythagoras himself. There was a Neo-Pythagoreanism revival in the first century which combined Pythagorean ideals with Stoic and other philosophies. His ideas on the harmony of the universe were adopted by early Christian thinkers, and his belief in heliocentrism obviously became adopted in the 17th century. And many 17th century scientists and philosophers also built off the Pythagorean theories of music and harmony. For somewhat obvious reasons, Pythagoras isn't studied in the same way that other ancient philosophers are today. For starters, we don't have any of his original writings, and most of his beliefs are sort of silly in hindsight. Nonetheless, Pythagoras played an important part in the very early history of philosophy, mathematics, science, and cults.
The executive producer of Everything Everywhere Daily is Charles Daniel. The associate producers are Benji Long and Cameron Kiever. I want to give a big shout out to everyone who supports the show over on Patreon, including the show's producers. Your support helps me put out a show every single day. And also, Patreon is currently the only place where Everything Everywhere Daily merchandise is available to the top tier of supporters. If you'd like to talk to other listeners of the show and members of the Completionist Club, you can join the Everything Everywhere Daily Facebook group or Discord server. Links to everything are in the show notes.